If you haven't seen that episode, where we kind of talk about the story of Diligent Defense, have you made up a story about the name yet?
No, I have not. I like to be honest.
It's a good opportunity to just like be like, I was stranded on a mountain, you know, broken leg, something like along those lines. But if you haven't listened to that podcast, like the history of Diligent Defense, go back and listen to it. You're back again. Y'all going up to Big Cat weigh-in?
Yep, we're here for the weigh-in and here to come see you and gonna sneak in some killing while we're here with Jeremy Simpson from High Plains, and then Wesley Knoll. He's up in Amarillo. He's an Instagram coyote killer.
Mm-hmm. So I see two suppressors on the table. Let's just go. Let's address the elephant in the room. I know we talked about the 22 can last time he was here, I believe.
Yeah.
So is this it? Is it officially out?
It's officially out, and they're officially rolling. There's probably 400 or 500 of them out there right now.
Have we ordered any?
Yeah, you have some.
Yeah, we got some.
We have some in.
I think they just came in. Everything's been so busy, so Matt probably didn't tell you
that fucker. So let's talk about the 22 can. It's called the Road Hunter, which is rad. Also, has anybody complained about the name?
No, not yet. I actually wasn't sure if the ATF was going to approve the model, and it was kind of a joke, and sure enough, it went right through, so I was like, cool.
They probably don't care about that, but is it user serviceable and all that? Or
yes, it is. So basically, you can take the front or the end cap off. The baffle stack inside, which that one might be dirty, I'm not sure. We laser the baffle stack so you can tear it apart. Don't really need instructions as long as you can do.
I'm not even going to attempt it right now.
It's probably filthy. It's probably got a few thousand rounds through it. Might need a wrench.
My question is, how hard is it when it is filthy to get the baffle stack out?
Not very. I've not had, normally just a couple taps on either side, get it moving a little bit, and it comes right out.
Do they all come lasered? I'm assuming it's laser engraved. That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Is this a topo of your area, or are you just like...
No, it's
not. Is there any hidden gems in
this topo?
We've
been asked that as well, and no, I just went and found a pattern I liked off the Google machine.
Again, you could like that's the exact spot where I got stranded on a mountain.
Yeah.
What is overall length and weight? Do you know off the top of your head?
I do not. Well, I'm really bad with numbers and remembering things.
It's 3.6 ounces.
There you go.
I don't know.
It's 1.07 OD. I know that.
4.125
length. I'm going to say it's less than 6 inches long. So pretty rad. Do y'all have any any future plans for different models or anything like that? Or right now you just kind of roll with this and go with it?
On rimfire cans, you mean? Mm-hmm. Right now that's just going to be it. That's actually been a pretty big pain in the butt for us. It's just a learning curve. You know, it's easy to make a suppressor, but once you start making them in volume, lots of tips and tricks you learn yourself just through struggles. But it's been a big hassle for us.
I got you. So it's pretty cool. What is this rated up to?
Or are you just 5.7. We've been getting a lot of questions about the 17s, the 22 Hornets. We've not done a whole lot of destructive testing on that yet. The 5.7 would beat it up pretty good. But if you got something.
If we got them in, I'll get one out and get it tested because I've got all the Hornets and all that crap. I think I have probably the highest round count, dead air, and what's the 22 can?
Mask
ever. Mine's stretched.
Really?
Yeah. Mine is when you put it back together, cling, 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 until you shoot it a bunch.
Dirt, fills it up.
It's that stretched out. It's that, like, it's literally.
What gun did you have mounted? You had mounted on something pretty hot for a while.
17 Hornet.
Okay.
Like, I run the living piss out of it on 17, which I cut that Hornet down 16-inch, and I literally shot the barrel out with the mask on it. So, I also shot out a 22 mag with that same mask. I shot out several 22s. Now, when I say shot out 22s, I doubt the barrel shot out. Like, parts start failing on 22s, especially cheap 22s. At several thousand rounds. Like, extractors mainly, like, they start messing up and all that crap. But it lived on a lot of guns for their life when we had the rabbit problem. So it was several thousands of rounds on several rifles. That's why it's like there's no coating left. It's stretched out. Like when you clean it, it literally will cling until you shoot and get it packed in there. Like it's a nightmare, but it's still hanging in there. But so it's probably time for me to get a new 22 can anyways.
Well, there you go.
It's pretty cool.
Solid titanium. We actually used the mask because that was my favorite can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're beating it by a couple decibels on our meter.
Hell yeah.
Both a bolt action rifle.
And, is the mask a little bit longer than this?
No.
It's definitely heavier than this.
Twice as, yeah. We're about half the weight, I think.
Well, cool.
Is that the can you'd compare it to the most? Kind of a basically a lighter mask.
Yeah, that was kind of my gold standard to me was the mask, and that was my favorite 22 can. And weight's the biggest difference.
Yeah, because that's a heavy bitch for a 22 can. What is the retail on this?
$420.
Nice.
Yeah.
$420.
Like
$69. Yeah.
And while we're on the subject. If you want to get a kid into shooting, get a 22, get a 22 suppressor. Game over. Like, get them on some reactive steel targets.
I was going to say, get a metal target.
Start them out on Red Dot, the low 10/22 or something like that. Reactive targets. Like, don't just sit them out on a rifle on paper all day long. Do that later on. Start them out on Red Dot, reactive steel targets, pretty close. Something, make it something hit, and put a suppressor on it. Because, like, then they'll... As parents nowadays, you have to know, like, video games are all the rage, and there's suppressors in video games, cool guns, video games. That's another thing. Like, you don't have to get a 10/22. There's the 15/22. Tippmann makes some, I've been told they're pretty, really good 22s, like AR-style 22s. Build out something cool for them. Let them go shoot it. Suppressor. Money. So... 420, these are available at most of your dealers now.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Al Outdoors has them. No one told me. I thought we were still waiting on them.
So, yeah, they were way behind. We were thinking they were going to be a little bit of a slow mover, and that was not the case.
Oh, 22 cans usually... Do we probably outsell everything with 22 cans? Yeah, it seems like we've always gone through quite a few of them. Because they're fun. I mean... If you're an adult buying your own fire suppressor, go ahead and get a 22 can at the same time. Like, you're going to enjoy it. Like, it's fun as shit. I will say, pro tip, clean that son of a bitch often. Don't
let it get built solid.
Don't let it get bad because you're going to hate your life. Like, that's a thing. So, do you have a recommendation on how often they should clean that one? Like every X amount of rounds?
I mean, 500, I was able to get it apart still. You know what I mean?
That's pretty nice. Cause I don't recall that ever being a thing on the mask. Like we should have kept so much, like we could have done so much data testing on 22 cans during that time. Cause we were shooting so much, but I will tell you like the first time I cleaned mine was like 500 rounds.
Didn't come apart.
Had to soak it for a while to get it apart, and then soak that baffle stack for a while to get the individual pieces apart. It was a nightmare. But that was also like forever ago. I don't know if they still make them the same or anything like that. Like I don't.
The ones that I have, or the mask that I have, the outside of the baffles have ripples on it, which actually would be beneficial or maybe a problem. I don't know. But that's the theory. I'm sure.
I found. One, we would use the dip quite often on the baffle stack and all that. Two, a wet tumbler. Just soak it, throw it in a wet tumbler.
Yeah.
Solid state and steel media. Just generic cleaning solution in there is all we did on that. Because, I mean, the stainless steel is doing the most work for you. And then... I would heat it up and then coat it. I tried all kinds of stuff, coating it. It seemed to me that it might have come clean easier, but there was no significant difference that we noticed of, oh, this is the wonder chemical to coat that. it would also get dirtier faster because it has something on it for that shit to cling to.
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, it seemed like just clean the piss out of it with your wet tumbler, your baffle stacks, and then just like, you know, wipe it off with CLP when you put it back together.
Yeah.
It was like the easiest go. But literally what we started doing was like we had a couple 22 suppressors that were serviceable. Every couple hundred rounds, just pull that bitch off, take it apart, throw the baffle stack in the wet tumbler, and run the other one while that's done.
Like, yeah.
And then we're talking about high rates. Like, this was pre-COVID, obviously, when 22 ammo was still relatively inexpensive. For a while, for a good while, we would shoot a brick a day of 550, whatever the shit it was. So we're talking about like a excessive amount of use, you know, excessive cleaning regimen. So you learn to appreciate easily serviceable, which you also learn that if you let it go too long, nothing really is easily serviceable.
Yeah.
Like if you just like keep running that bitch. But anyways.
I'm doing a test at home with some spray on the outside of the baffles, and I want to get a good 500 plus rounds in it and see how it comes apart. But
it would definitely be interesting to go back and do all this kind of shit again, because 22 ammo is more available again. I've got quite a bit stored back up, but I'll definitely do some more testing on the different calibers, and it'd be interesting to go back through and see if I can find something that. Okay, yes, coating your baffle stack with this is definitely going to aid in being able to clean it or take it apart easier if you allow it to get to this point. But 9 times out of 10, like, man, we tried all kinds of stuff. One, preheating them and then coating them in motor oil, coating them in frog lube, coating them in this, coating them in that. Like, we tried all kinds of stuff. And one, like I said, it would literally... seems as if it would go ahead and get dirty quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But just using, I don't remember what brand CLP we end up using. Just using CLP to coat them while they're warm seemed to make it to where, yes, it would get dirty faster, but it would come apart easier.
Right.
But, you know, I digress. Just take care of your suppressor.
What are you shooting? Subs or supers?
We would literally shoot everything.
Okay.
And I can't eat, like, we shot so much different stuff, and which we ultimately we end up going to more higher quality ammo, subs and supers, because like a lot of these fancy 22s that we, it was this progression. We started out with the cheapest shit in the world. That shit wears out easily. There for a little bit, we even didn't even shoot suppress. We just go buy the cheapest savages. As soon as they'd break, we'd just bury them.
Yeah.
Throw them in the hole. And then I'm like, this is stupid. So we started buying more expensive 22s. But that was also pre all the badass 22s coming out. Like, they were just starting to come out as the rabbits were dying off out here. So it would be cool to go back and redo a lot of these tests on some of these fancy 22s. But we also found... the higher dollar 22 ammo seemed to be a little bit better as far as like cleaner and everything else. But it definitely helped when, again, pros and cons, the higher quality ammo that's like pre-lubed.
Yeah.
Pros and cons of that being in West Texas. Pro, like it runs a lot smoother in your bolt action, all that. Con, that shit gets everywhere, especially while you're loading magazines and all that stuff. And it attracts dust.
Yeah.
So great in the beginning, sucks at the end.
Yeah, I've been running the I always shot Thunderbolts, but now that I'm playing with cans, I'm messing with the subs, and Normatec 22 is what I've landed on, and they're lubed.
We should have freaking kept up with, like, because again, that was also back when 22 ammo was everywhere, all the different brands were everywhere. I will tell you this, I know for a fact my favorite subsonic was CCI segmenting. Don't they have a subsonic segmenting? Did I just make that up?
Came across that one.
I feel like that's what I ran the most, and I like the most as far as subsonic, because subs are fun because they're quiet, but also lethality, not that great.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, man, we eventually stopped running like the cheapest, you know, the Thunderbolts, the Winchester, like we eventually stopped running that shit because, you know, it ran dirtier. You would have way more failure to fires and all that kind of stuff. Like, but again, we're also going through, I mean, everybody tell you how great a 1022 magazine is. All of them have a life.
Yeah.
Now, the Ruger branded ones would last longer than these cheap-ass knockoffs, but they all have a life. They're eventually going to stop working.
Yeah, CCI has the 40-grain segmented hollow point.
Subsonic, though? Or is that standard velocity?
It says quiet 22, so I'm assuming... Yeah. Oh, yeah, 710 feet per second.
That was my favorite.
They have some new stuff, it looks like. It's specifically clean. It's supposed to be...
Interesting.
Clean 22. One's a polymer coated. I don't know if this.
Yeah, those Normas seem to be the fastest. They got the highest velocity, but still maintain subsonic on everything.
I will say, in the lever gun days. Now, we had this lever gun. It was a Henry. It was really long, octagon barrel. It was the funnest thing in the world to shoot. That thing needed to be adjusted.
I'm good.
But it was so long barreled that you didn't even need a suppressor. It even standard velocity ammo would come out really quiet. I mean, obviously the suppressor would help, but it was so long barreled as well. Like we did put another suppressor on it, like we couldn't get it out of the truck worth the shit. Because we'd shoot a lot of them while we was working. Like we had play games while we was working. Me and Ninja Carl, you weren't allowed to stop because we're going to another spot to work. And we would keep track all day who shot the most as we was driving. So, like, there's all kinds of games like that, especially with the lever action. That's when it got real fun. But out of the lever action, it's a CCI ammo. And this may not even be the name. This is what we call them. Velociraptor. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
They killed really well. As far as we're talking about all rabbits here. But again, like there's such a missed opportunity here because we're just too busy, like working all the time and just killing any minute that we was awake because there was just that many rabbits. We should have kept up with so much data, like 22 suppressor data, ammo data, because we literally tried everything, magazines, like there was such a missed potential there for so much 22 LR data collection. But at some point, the rabbits would be back. Like I'm starting to see more and more. At some point, they'll be back, and those days will come back. And then this time, we'll probably keep up way more data.
Yeah, take advantage of the situation.
It was chaos. I mean, within about 2 months of living here, I shot out 2 varmint rifles.
And these aren't cottontails, right? These are jackrabbits.
It's cottontail and jackrabbits.
Okay.
They're literally crawling like ants. Like it's, Mr. Rolodex of photos, did you ever keep any videos or photos when you used to be able to like just walk around and kick rabbits?
No. The only thing, I'm sure if I dug hard enough, I could find the one video of Ninja Carl kicking one over the power line. Yeah. But one of the first times I actually was out here, it was like you'd send 2 people out and side by, or 2 teams out on side by sides, like who could kill the most rabbits, and you would have the bed of the side by side,
rounded over. Like you couldn't get another one in there.
Like disgusting. And that would be like less than 2 hours.
And he didn't start.
That was after
we'd already like, it was probably right around the time they almost started dying off. Like it wouldn't even peak. Because this place was kind of in shambles when we moved out here. We had to do a lot of work before we invited anybody out here. Like it was pretty run down. But it was. The first day I come out here, I pulled in the gate, this one down here. It's about a mile down to the next gate or something like that. Might be a little bit more than a mile. With a 22-250 and a case ammo, which is 200 rounds. And I was out of ammo by the time I got to the gate. And you're only shooting like 1 out of every 5 rabbits.
I remember the first
time. That you can see.
Yeah.
I had no periphery. Idea what to expect. We loaded up the first time and we like pulled into this thing. And I forget, I had some 22, I don't know what the fuck, probably a tax haul or something. And it was like there's too many rabbits. Yeah. Like, you didn't know where, your brain, my brain couldn't process, what do I aim at? And it was like, there was just so many. It was ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was a great time for testing ammo.
That's funny.
And testing rifle platforms and everything else. After I burn out the two first varmint rifles, I'm like, I should probably go to 22s, which we soon found out 22s weren't always best. Because we'd have kids out and stuff like that, let them shoot rabbits. There got to be a lot of wounded rabbits running around. So I'm like, we need to get something bigger than a 22. So I went to the Hornets. Again, more expensive, which back then, still wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Could shoot the 22 suppressors, not have to clean the suppressors as much, but the rifle has a life. Burn up one or two to 17 Hornets. Let's go to 22 mag, which then 22 mag was kind of weird as far as finding ammo, but I could get a case at a time. And I found out as far as massive amounts of killing rabbits. And trying to just shoot them one shot. Like, they might be running, stuff like that. 22 mag's probably your best bet. Even over 17 HMR. As far as cost to kill ratio. requires less cleaning on the suppressor as well.
Yeah.
But they don't last as long as the rifle itself. Again, going back then, not having... Why can't I remember the name of the fancy 22s we have a grigging of?
But the Anschutz or the Voodoos?
Voodoos.
So like, okay. The Remington 700 trainers.
Voodoo was just starting to get talked about, but they weren't available like they are nowadays. So, trying to think of that last 22 mag I wore out. I think it was a Savage. Potentially a B mag. No, that's not right. It was some kind of Savage 22 mag. Shot great, but after about 10,000 rounds, it wasn't like it's tragedy. But anyways, enough about the rabbits.
well, going back to the 22 suppressor or cleaning it, have you had any experience with the Breakthrough stuff? The new Breakthrough suppressor cleaner?
No, I've
not. Kind of circling around. It's like a
a kit.
Yeah.
So it's a kit, and it has the chemicals and a brush, has these little tubes you put it in, all this other stuff. So. I'll definitely be getting that.
I'll have to check it out.
Looks pretty impressive. Well, it seems that's kind of the talk of, I guess, the most recent drama suppressor industry, obviously, since you've been out last, is Cat is on the scene.
Yep.
And they're releasing their non-user serviceable 22. But then they have the, I guess with the advent of all these flow-through designs, you're having, what you previously didn't have, which is an actual regimented cleaning schedule required for rifle cans and such, but it's necessitating that cleaning solution that they're selling that's $140. So people are miffed about that.
Wait, how many times can you use it? Is that a single use thing?
It's like I don't know.
If it's only single use and it's $140 a pop on a 22 can, I will not be owning that 22 can.
Well, mostly not even 22, but like the 223 stuff. I'm sure, I don't know how
many. On rifle cans, I'd be fine spending $140 for once a year cleaning.
Right. Well, it's not once
if it
a,
works well, good.
Once a year, it's, I forget that, is it 200 or 200 to 500 rounds maybe? Or maybe it's 1,000.
I'm talking about the big cans, not 22 cans.
But no, that's what I'm saying.
Wait, you have to clean them that much?
Something like that, right? Am I fucked off here? Do you know?
I have no idea. I've seen the P-Science drop for the Cat 22 can. That's all I've seen.
Yeah. I should probably...
And that it was non-user serviceable.
I haven't cleaned my Hux can yet. It's probably 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 rounds in.
It's not.
That's the only thing I don't like about the 3D printed shit or the Hux Works. Like, has a... What is it, 10,000 round life or some shit? I don't know.
That's what they say.
We're going to find out because I'm planning on shooting mine a lot more this summer. Like, I've been trying to, only use these bitches for hunting as much as possible, but I like to practice. But anyways, are you looking that up?
I'm trying to. Their website's too hipstery. Doesn't work.
So we have here, we'll just continue on.
You get a quart for $140.
That's a great deal.
It's probably just the just dip.
It depends how it works. Yeah, it's a dip.
So, yeah, the little cleaning solution is, what, 140?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get some tested out. That's all I can talk about.
I'm fairly certain I ordered a case of it, but...
I want to see, like, the breakthrough thing. The breakthrough.
That shit looks really good, because you can get the giant jug of that shit for pretty cheap.
It's probably like some... It's probably like beet... Behrman's, what? Yeah, it's probably like nothing but
CLR.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what a lot of guys are using. CLR works pretty good, it seems like.
I'm gonna. Oh, I don't even remember what is in the dip, but I can assure you,
it's vinegar and peroxide.
That's it. It works better than anything I tried back then, on like cleaning off baffle stacks, stuff like that. Dumbest thing I ever did was. We were, again, it was always a thing that we did a lot, cleaning suppressors. Just part of our life because we shot so much. Dumbest things I ever did was reach right in there without a glove on one day and get my shit out. And I'm just like, oh, I'm probably going to die now.
Yeah. Just make sure to do it in a very confined environment.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the, I guess it's the lead being suspended in the liquid. It's the only issue, which sticking your hand in a box of lead bolts your whole entire life and then
exactly
picking your nose and biting your fingernails.
Yeah.
So the breakthrough stuff is a gallon's about $100, which is four times the amount of the cat stuff. But
yeah, does it say how much the kit's going to be? Like their little cleaning kit?
Let me look.
I have to wonder if
$60 for
that's going to mess up the Cerakote or not, probably.
You have to imagine it probably does.
It would have to. If it's going to eat like that shit, it would have to.
Water-based ammonia-free cleaner that removes heavy carbon and lead. Without etching. So it's not a CLP. It's no etching or...
Just water.
Check it out.
Yeah, I need to read more on it, I guess.
It's the dip. I'm telling you, it's the dip. They're bottling the dip now.
Huh. Yeah, this is what the kit looks like. So it has a tube and
little brushes there.
Interesting.
The Wolf Hunter. There's a lot of, I guess I'm just spoilt brat because I've had mine. A lot of people been asked about the Wolf Hunter here lately on TPH and whatnot. I should have printed off those questions. So, okay. I want to do a 12-minute talk with you. And there's certain questions I want to wait to ask on that. But Wolf Hunter, let's talk about the Wolf Hunter. What is the Wolf Hunter? I know we talked about it last time. But let's just
it
go
is
over it again.
A dedicated 6mm and under suppressor. We only make one version of it, just a short length, and it performs really well on your 6 arc, some sort of 22 arc. Yep, solid titanium, welded construction. But yeah, you could notice the difference between an STI with a small end cap. We still push people, you know, fit your first can to get an STI and you can put the different flash caps on you want. But if you've got multiple cans, I definitely recommend that.
This is 6mm and down. Can I run this on a 6 Creed?
Yeah.
Can I run this on a short barrel 6 Creed?
Absolutely.
These are just all the questions that have been coming up about the Wolf Hunter. Yeah, and I know you probably have all this information on your website, but nobody likes to go read the website.
Yeah, mine lives on a 18-inch 6 Creed, and it's got a lot of rounds through it.
I've been running, my one Wolf Hunter stays on that Valkyrie because I shoot it so much. The other Wolf Hunter, it's been on the bolt gun 6 arc, bolt gun 22 Creed, bolt gun 6 Creed. Like it just kind of walks all over the place on my bolt guns. What is the price difference between, say, this and a Enticer STI?
I believe it's the same price. I don't know. The only difference is about it. We ship it with both a half and a 5/8 adapter. But the price is within a couple bucks. If it's not the same, I'm not sure.
So, and these are all your suppressors hub compatible?
With the exception of the rimfire cans.
Right. So, as far as the Wolf Hunter, what are the color options?
Just black only.
So am I special? Did I get the only 10?
You actually had one of the, or you had some of the very first cans, I believe.
Yeah.
We kind of didn't advertise that they were even out there because we were just, we've been struggling since day one to keep up. And we just keep adding. So I feel kind of guilty advertising for new things if it's going to be 6 or 8 weeks, you know?
Right. I mean, you got, I get that because, like, here's the sad part about, like, our ammo production not having help. Like, I'll make a massive amount of ammo, and we'll shoot a bunch of content about it. And before we can get all the content out, the ammo's gone within a few minutes of dropping it. And I'm just like, oh, I want to post this content. But, like, then they're going to be like, where's the goddamn ammo?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you're kind of dealing with the same stuff.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Scalability and all that.
Yeah, so, we have a 45-70 can. We got a 5.56 can, and we're just sitting on them because it's, you know, just the current offerings, or we can't keep up.
Right. So, I mean, that's a great problem to have, but it also, I get where you're probably at right now is like, I just want to be able to give the customers what they want. I want to be able to produce more, but also, like, it's kind of scary. I mean, let's be honest. It's kind of scary, like, especially being in the gun industry. Like, the need in one is there. But also, like, if I scale up, it's going to cost an absurd amount of money.
It is. And
it's a pretty big gamble.
One pen stroke from somebody can make it all go away, you know? And so we try to do everything safe and smart and, you know, keep everything in-house. I've seen a lot of quality issues pop up with other companies, and I guess you could
call them out,
prevent that. I'm not calling them out. I like everybody.
No, call them out.
But yeah, that's just one thing with scaling. If you start subbing stuff out, we try to be the most affordable, and we can still be profitable by keeping everything in. I bet you since I was here last year, we put in 5 or 6 lathes in addition to what we had already.
Oh yeah. And, what is your top seller?
Probably the STI. I really think we're into 2,400 of those. I think was probably one of the last serial numbers I seen laying on the table when I left.
I would have thought it had been the enticer, the regular enticer, the stainless enticer.
No, it's not.
Huh.
Our titanium cans are the highest performing for the size and the weight. And then to top it off, they're 20% cheaper than everything out there. So, no, the S's do move good, but there was options before, you know what I mean?
Right.
The Rec stuff was out there, and Otter has the plonium stuff for the, you know, so there are stainless affordable cans.
Right.
Titanium, though, it's our biggest mover.
Interesting. Do you feel like that's due to the fact that mostly hunters are buying them?
I do. Yeah, and that's just because we kind of made that push to go to the predator hunting world. And I always tell people, if you're going to wait maybe 300 days for a can and pay $200, I'd just save a couple extra for Ty. But, you know, if you're a heavy use guy, it totally doesn't matter if you don't care about the weight.
Right. I mean, well, we had a guy the other day. He actually got some Diligent cans. I can't remember which ones he said he got. First time ever get a suppressor, 82 days.
Really?
I'm like, you lucky son of a bitch. I was like, don't you wish you'd have bought more? You know,
I've been seeing lots of that in the last week or two. And I don't know what it is. There's guys that have been waiting, that are still waiting. You know, they're at 300 days, and there's guys going in front of them, you know, that are 2 months, 3 months.
It's strange. It's very strange. But, I mean, 82 days, that's pretty rad.
One of our dealers transferred a Roadhunter into his own personal name and just an individual, and he got it in 10 days.
How many times did this paperwork?
Not a batch approval either. Just a single one-off and no explanation. But
it probably wouldn't happen like that for me.
Nah.
I wouldn't get that lucky. So we're just going to go over the whole lineup again. So we have the Wolf Hunter.
Yep.
Which is 6mm dedicated. And we just covered all that, all the specs on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Enticer S and the Enticer L, which are the stainless cans.
Yep.
Now, they're the same diameter as the TIs. Mm-hmm. They're just stainless.
Same design, stainless. There's a couple little features inside that we've changed, but for the most part, yeah.
And these are going to be excellent heavy use cans, and these are going to be your most cost effective cans.
Yep.
I mean, other than obviously the 20 cans cheaper, but we're talking about, you know, center fire now. I have all these cans, except for the 22 one, Matt. I pretty much run the TIs on my daytime rigs. I run the regular enticers on 556 ARs, and then nighttime bolt guns, the Enticer L and the Enticer LTI. They both pretty much live on nighttime rifles where I want the most amount of suppression, and I don't care about length and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and these are, again, the regular enticers are, you're going to be able to tell because they're stainless. Now, are y'all selling these Cerakoted, or they just come like this?
Okay. Yeah, we do black and both stainless, and I would say black's probably a little bit bigger of a mover.
Right.
But there's people that still like the raw, for sure.
And, you know, even though they're completely stainless, they're still not, like, overly heavy. Like, I run this one on a few daytime hunting rifles. It's not like it's a big deal. But they are obviously heavier than the titanium cans. According to my little chart here, about 7 ounces difference between the L and the LTI. 13.8 ounces on the Enticer S, which is this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then 8.9 ounces on the Enticer STI, which I probably run the Wolf Hunters. We're just talking about this outside. Probably run the Wolf Hunters and the Enticer STI the most, like more than anything.
Yeah.
For whitetail hunting, long range hunting, daytime coyote hunting, like all that stuff. But just simply because, like, I'm trying to keep that shit as lightweight as possible. And they're fantastic. I mean, they're great cans. And also, like I said, the Enticer S and L are your cost-effective cans. They're stainless. Stainless is cheaper than titanium. It's very simple.
Machine's twice as fast, too.
And you have the Enticer LTI and Enticer STI, which is literally like this, but titanium, which they're right here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to keep lightweight as possible, I would highly recommend these cans. They're incredibly light and incredibly quiet. They're great cans. All of them are hub compatible, which, what is the thread pitch on hub compatible?
Inch and 3/8, 24.
Which means, for those that aren't in the know, which we've covered this a million times, it'll come with, you know, a thread insert, just direct thread.
Right.
But there are tons of companies nowadays, and I don't know who all's doing it now, they don't have muzzle devices and devices that go on the suppressor for, like, quick changeability. What's the thing Kevin Burningham's always, like, the taper. All that stuff. What do you prefer? I mean, I have to imagine being your manufacturer suppressors, you just direct thread everything.
I direct thread everything. Yes.
I'm a
length and weight guy.
Yeah.
And I think every gun should have a suppressor.
I mean, so, especially like for lightweight. I don't think you can get any more lightweight than the titanium STI with the titanium threaded insert.
Right. Yeah. That weight on the chart includes the mount. The can's actually like rated 8 ounces, just under, depending what scale you put it on. And then you put the mount 0.9 ounce.
Have you ever done much testing on just like the thread on repeatability and zero, like if I thread it off and on?
Mine always repeat when I clean my guns. I've never had I always put it on paper, but they always do repeat.
I mean, it's still heavily talked about, like, should I get this or should I just thread it on? To me, it all depends.
Yeah.
To me, the answer you're looking for is just buy more suppressors. It make, like, because what I do, that's what I do, I just buy more suppressors. But right. What I do is I do have direct thread guns because I have rifles that I'm just like, I love that suppressor on that rifle. It's that's its home now. I'll put a generous amount of red Loctite. Fitzy doesn't like this. It stays on. Again, I'm not going out there and I'm not mag dumping and all that stuff.
Right.
You should see my Loctite collection now. I have all of them.
Wait, have you?
I have all of them.
Have you swapped to Loctite?
Huh?
Have you swapped to Loctite?
I also have Vibratite and Roxette. I have the whole chart, every single Loctite they make. I have all of them.
But I like Loctite because I just apply a little bit of heat and I can get it to break off. Now, it's not, if you apply a generous amount of Loctite, it doesn't come off easy. Uh-uh. And I would recommend either burning a mag through the rifle or using a torch or a lighter to heat the threads up. Make sure your barrel is supported properly. Because like on bolt actions, you could potentially spin the barrel off with red Loctite because I've done it.
Ask me how I know.
Exactly. So, again, going back to like, you can swap to hub compatible stuff. Are there any that you would recommend as far as like a hub system?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite stuff, the Q pattern. Reardon has really awesome mm-hmm. stuff. Liberty Precision. Again, I'm a weight and length guy, so they have a baby bell that I really like, the muzzle device, and your gun that looks so silly when it doesn't have the can on, it's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
And as far as the mounts go, the Reardon Atlas is out there everywhere. We designed one called the Zilch. I don't know if you've seen that yet or not.
I have not.
It's only an eighth inch long, and it adds no length at all. So there was... As fast as we've made them, they've sold, and again, we're just so far behind. But there's a few hundred of those out there. A couple hundred, maybe.
Definitely check it out, because, I mean...
But it's the Q pattern, and it adds no length at all.
The reality is I can't have a suppressor on their rifle, because I'm not rich.
Yeah.
So I do run...
Wait, no, that's...
You just sell some rifles.
Yeah, I was going to say... You can't say it because you're not rich. It's because you have too many fucking rifles.
Well, no, I have to have rifles. We have to test ammo. So I do run...
Oh, so this runs on a cherry bomb. The Zilch.
Yes, the Q pattern, yeah. So the cherry bomb.
Oh, hell yeah.
So go back to that picture there. I don't know if you could see that or not, but yeah, it tucks it real tight into the handguard.
Wait, did you bring any of those?
I think I have one.
That's about
it. It's out there in the case.
He brought, you know how many he brought? Zilch, not a nun.
Hey, I'd have bought some of them bitches if I'd have known about that.
Are they in stock?
No.
He just said no.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Anyways, as far as weight goes, I mean, that seems to be a pretty clear winner. But as far as weight goes, Area 419, I don't remember which one it is. Sidewinder, Hellfire, I don't know. They make a titanium version. It doesn't add hardly any length to the can. And the muzzle device is still very lightweight. And it does. It's a taper style design.
Yeah.
And it works fantastic. I have quite a few of those. I run the Plan B cherry bombs.
The mount is titanium on the Area 419 or mm-hmm. the muzzle device or both?
I don't remember about the muzzle device. I don't think the muzzle device is.
What are you asking
the mount
about?
Is. That, titanium stuff from Air 419.
Yeah, that Zilch mount's titanium as well.
Well, you can get both on the Area 419. You get steel or titanium.
Yeah.
And it can't weigh much because it's just that little nut. And then their actual, the insert for the hub, it looks very similar to the Zilch. So I'm assuming similar weight.
Yeah. I like that one. It is reverse threaded. Some people, that's not a good thing for.
So the rotation of the bullet tightens it as it shoots.
So wait, does that mean Kevin Burnham shit gets tighter because it's faster?
Yeah, has that rotational velocity.
Yeah, if you do the 8.6 on the Area 419, you probably couldn't get it off.
I think it'd just spin the gun out of your hand. I don't know. But like I have, let's see, the Area 419 stuff, I had a lot of those. Plan B, cherry bombs. And then I think I just direct thread most of your cans.
The Zilch mount, I want to say the there's a lot of interference issues, so you have to know the dimensions. Like, you can't put the Zilch on a Dead Air Nomad with a cherry bomb.
Right.
Ask me how I know.
Probably not a CGS either. Is it just like the depth of the blast chamber?
Yeah, you end up ramming the cherry bomb into the face of the blast baffle on the Nomad, and it doesn't seal. But it does it right as you're starting to engage, so you can't tell.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, we have to make a list up once we get those going.
So as far as, that's the line. Obviously, you can go to their website.
One thing we missed on was the DTFs. We designed it for the 8.6. We have a short and a long, which I don't have a long one here. It's good for 9mm down. It's a good option. A lot of the guys in Ohio, that's our neck of the woods. They got to run the straight wall cartridges, so your 350 Legends and all that. But yeah, you can even put a booster in this thing and run it on a pistol. It's
that's a different can?
Yes, it is. It's the same. But it's labeled as a 8.6, but it's good for 9mm and down.
Sweet.
And you could still put a 22 cap on it if it's your very first suppressor and you got to hunt with a 350 Legend. But say you got a 22-250 or something, you can still, it still performs well on a.
Interesting. So I wonder. So is this like a, is this different internally? I mean, obviously the size of the hole is different.
All of our centerfire cans designs are similar. We do half coax, half conventional baffles, and we do it differently than everybody so far until we get copied. But
give it some time. So I wonder, going back to what we was talking about outside, I wonder if you put a 22 or a 6mm in cap, ran this on a, say a 223 or six arc, that the size of that would aid in the back pressure situation.
I would certainly assume so.
And are these available now?
Yeah. Yep.
Do we have any?
DTFs, no.
Fail. We're going to have to get some. I'm going to get one. 8.6 Blackout. Do you have 8.6 Blackout?
I do.
Has it changed your world?
I think there's a place for it, probably. I just have it on bolt guns just because I'm a bolt gun guy. And supers, I didn't spend a lot of time, but the first rounds I made up, I did Hammer Hunters, maybe, 180s, and Faxon Barrel, Mac Brothers Action, I believe, and it's a tack driver.
What length barrel?
12.
12-inch?
Yeah.
What velocity are you getting out of those?
I didn't have a chronograph at the time, so fail. I don't know. Yeah, fail. I didn't spend as much time on it. I basically did it for a meter host when we were designing the can.
Right.
And I was testing on supers a lot. I tried the 350 crane makers. Again, for metering accuracy, they were no good, but I'm not saying that wasn't on me.
Right.
But I didn't have much luck at 100.
How expensive is it for that round?
Very.
We actually finally found some brass. I sent it to you. Sent you the link. I don't know if you ever actually did anything.
We have two guns that just haven't even shot. They're sitting there fully built, suppressed, 8.6s, and just ammo. I go online to order it, and it's like the cheap ass about certain things, and I'm just like, ugh.
You know? That's my only drawback. I mean, I don't run a lot of large caliber stuff. It's just not my cup.
It's because you're not a real hunter. You don't go to Africa.
Yeah.
You're not in the lake of Ernest Hemingway.
Wild.
Yeah.
I got to hold the boombox at SHOT Show. That was a really neat rifle.
That does look really cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I hate all AR-10s, and I'm sure I'll hate that one just as much.
Well, think about that one. You'll be able to actually tune it a lot better, you know.
I don't know.
I don't know the inner workings of it, but as far as an AR-10, it's tiny and it's light, and it felt cool, and I liked it.
Did you get to shoot it or just look at it?
It was at the
side. I'm curious, especially when you start talking about lightweight, because I hear...
You don't want a tiny 6 Creed semi-auto?
No. In a bolt gun?
I'm going to convert your ass. Not
even, yeah.
Probably not, because I hate AR-10s.
It's called the boombox. That's cool.
I mean, yeah, it's cool
name. I'm gonna hold it outside your window at night.
Cool-looking rifle. But it, like... I can't imagine enjoying shooting a superbly lightweight AR-10 platform. Like,
you just have to be a man.
Call me not a man. I don't know. I feel as if someone missed a good opportunity at making a fantastic 30 cal cartridge as opposed to going up to the 338 projectile. And I'm working on it currently. So maybe by next year we'll have something. I feel as if it's going to be better.
300 wide out.
That's 100% what we should call it. I was definitely planning on calling it the Dirty 30.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's going to be a 30 cal projectile. I think they probably started working on it before this particular cartridge that's going to be the parent case came out. And I think it's going to work fantastic. I've literally been waiting on the reamer forever. But anyways, moving on. It'll definitely be cheaper to shoot because, like, that's the major drawback for me is the fucking price of the, you know. I'm sure when they first started developing it, it was pre-COVID pricing.
Yeah.
Because that definitely changed the game in components pricing and definitely on 33. Isn't it 33 cal? Or am I just like misspeaking like crazy over here? The 8.6, that 33 cal?
Yeah, the 338.
Yeah. So, no. It's like, fuck those prices.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough as it is nowadays, but like that just blew it out of the water. But anyways, so y'all have a can for it.
Yeah, we have a can for it. Sounds great on the 8.6, but it's also, I mean, that little guy there, I run on my 338 Lapua, and it makes it comfortable.
You know, shoot. What is surprising to me is I hear this from a lot of elk guys. How many people run a 338 Lapua for elk hunting?
I have no idea.
This would be a great can to throw on there. And I suggest you're running a can, like, especially like, again, keeping shit lightweight. So this is the DTF.
Yes, a DTFS. Yeah.
Why is it called a DTF?
It's the Delta Triface Baffle. Right. We actually started it out as the BDE, and we had.
Are you trying to out Kevin?
Well, actually, Primary Weapon Systems made a can called the BDE.
Oh, okay.
And they actually trademarked the name, and we're not responsible enough to do that, so we went to the DTF.
So, I know you probably already said this. There's the S, and you have an L. Mm-hmm. And are they both TIs? Or do you have both,
We don't do stainless on those.
Why not?
Just getting too much stuff to balance at the moment.
Gotcha.
We've made a machine gun, well, a full auto. We made a stainless one of those for one customer, just a one-off guy. But no, we don't offer it just because it's kind of a hunting.
Right.
You know, we call it the 8.6 can. It's a hunting cartridge. It's, you know.
Cool. So that's the lineup. Do you have anything? Did we miss anything?
No, I don't believe.
Intestor S, L, LTI, STI.
DTFs, they're all very similar look, similar design, just different bores, basically.
The 22 can, the Road Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any secret squirrel stuff in the works that you can tell us about?
Yeah, we do have a 45-70 can sitting there. And we have a 5.56 can sitting there. And material arrived yesterday for Arca Swiss mount plates.
Ooh.
Going to do a universal one and going to do a Q-cert one just because I'm a...
No one else fucking services that very well?
I love my fixed rifles.
Yeah.
And no one... I've not came across one yet, so...
There is like one other company that makes them?
I can't even remember the name.
I have one of them. I hadn't even put it on yet.
Oh, really?
Did I get you those?
Yes.
Man, where's the guy? I wonder where mine's at. Oh, that's the Annex. Probably.
There you go.
I'm not
Annex,
sure.
Annex Defense?
We, the one thing that's a little different on ours, Area 419 does the serrated edges, and you can put the pins down in the dovetail, and I'm just not crazy about that. I've had some, you know, trying to lock it, you kind of got to, we're putting just four stops on the ends that are screws. You can run them or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's other people have done that.
Yeah, what everybody's kind of getting to. Most of them, it's interesting, like a lot of Arca rails, plates, whatever you call it, come with that. I don't never use them.
You mean the really rights? What are they? They try to like make that a thing when they just told Arca Swiss, but right, really right stuff. 1.5 inch dovetail system.
Interesting. So you are going to get into Arca. Like, do you have a? You going to do different lengths? You going to start out with just one, or what's
just going to do the 4 inch ones to start, and just to have some other accessories out there,
right? But, it's definitely needed for Q-Cert because there. I feel like there's another company.
There was a company. Too. I mean, I don't even remember the name, but it was shot maybe last year, and they had they were actually like clear ano. They're like the full length for the full length hand guards.
Because most of the stuff you find for Q seems like it's always short stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that's great and all, but sometimes I want a full arc rail. It depends on the platform.
Yeah,
if I'm trying to get reduce weight as much as possible, I go small Arca, small Picatinny, and you know, I can cover my tripod, I can cover my bipod. But most of my shit, I get a full arc rail just because I like the versatility of full arc rail. But it also depends, like the platform, but. No, I love it. I love the fact that more and more people are putting out. Because now, like, shit, I can't remember all the brands. Like, Magpul has a whole smorgasbord of Arca rails. Odin, actually, as far as weight's concerned, now, the screws seem to be garbage, which I have a ton of different screws to swap them out. Odin Works actually has a incredibly lightweight Arca rail, fuller length Arca rail, and I'm sure they have shorter ones. Questionable on the looks, but you know, it's Odin. Armaspec, no, it's Armaspec. It's either Armaspec or shit. Now I don't remember. It was either Armaspec or someone else come out with a 3 inch arc around. I have one out there, it's hogged out and it feels like it could potentially be that titanium.
Was the Armaspec one, I believe. I held it like in the store nothing. Yesterday. There was one at Ally, I think. It was all hogged out.
That is an incredibly lightweight one now.
Dependabelt. So sawtooth rifles.
Dependabelt.
It's like they stole the Peterbilt logo.
But, I mean, it's great. I'm happy that more and more people are producing. Like, now you can get on Amazon and get M-Lock Arca rails pretty easily. I'm glad to see that becoming more of a thing. Because, like, that's clearly the best way to go. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Fuck. Makes saddles. Sense. Done. I'm over it.
Yeah. That's the only way I carry a rifle is and there was a RRS was holding a patent on the lever locks on the dovetail clamps, and I believe that's over with now.
I think it
because 419 selling them unless they got a licensing agreement. But the wing nut ones, the where you tighten them, that I've had rifles that fell off. I've caught them luckily before it got too bad, but that's why I like the stops on them. When I'm doing demos too for our cans, I don't care what mount it is. It seems like I'm sure the 419 with the pins might stop it, but when you're shooting 500 rounds, it does work its way back.
Oh yeah, no, 100% on it. It's just standard Arca rail and all that stuff. It'll like if you shoot enough and all that, it'll eventually
slide back,
but. Yeah. Yeah, I do like the Arca lock from Arrow 419, but on their word to the wise, if you have one of their bipod add-ons that has the pins, always check those screws because those screws will walk out and you'll lose your pins. Because they make it to where you can pull your pins out.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, I guess if you wanted to, you know, pull one pin out or, you know, whatever. Always double check those screws because I've had over the years, I have so many of them. Over the years, I've lost quite a few.
Yeah.
Because literally, when your bipod's mounted, those screws are, they can fall out.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, all the little, machine screw, I guess what you call it, just holds the pin in. So it kind of defeats the purpose of your Arca lock if you lose all your pins.
Yeah.
Just check your shit every once in a while and put a little Loctite on it, you know.
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing with the 419 stuff for me was most of my QD stuff for Amazon ones that just because I don't like the wing nuts.
Right. Yeah.
It just wasn't an option for me.
Yeah. Well, cool. Are we missing anything? Anything we need to talk about?
No, we're. I think we covered everything, but
We're going to shoot a 12-minute right after this. So, which it'll... Before after fits.
What do you mean?
The, will the 12-minute come out before or after?
That I don't know.
What is y'all's website called?
It's www.diligentdefense.com. And, yeah.
And if you have a local gun store and they sell suppressors and they don't have Diligent Defense, tell them to reach out. Get them in the store.
Yeah, we don't have any minimum. You can sign up to be a dealer and buy one. We've been able to maintain that so far. Our lead times are awful now, which kind of wanted to touch on saying that this year we're putting up a new building. We're adding a second shift, attempting that a second shift right now, and buying more equipment and doing what we can do.
Hell yeah. Man, that's awesome. I'd love to hear it. Well, we appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always fun.
Fitzy, any final closing thoughts?
I wanted to talk about his Legos up here real quick.
That's Wade's Lego
that's
set.
Mine.
You got into Legos now?
No.
Oh, this absolutely last not. Last year when you were here, that's when we were having the Lego party. I forgot.
Yeah, they're good.
One of the guys built that for him. It's a Lego blacksmith set, and the interesting thing about it is the guy it comes with looks like Wade. It has a wife, and it had three animals. So it's literally Wade, but like medieval times. He'd have been a blacksmith, we presume. So
nice. Well, I like
this. This is the world I live in out here.
I'm not judging.
they were nice enough to build it for me, so I was nice enough to put it in the studio.
I like it.
First thing my dad looked at when he walked in, he was like, what's this?
That's me and my animals.
I mean, only question I would have is kind of, you know, I always like to get people in the industry's prediction on things. I mean, it seems like the suppressor market has really shifted in the last year. I mean, what do you think it's going to go this year, or what are we going to see? Or
I don't know. I'm a doom and gloom kind of guy, so I keep thinking we're due for a slowdown. But the suppressor market's definitely soggy. There's lots of people jumping in, you know, and it's good for the consumer. You know, it pushes everybody. The only thing I'm concerned about is a lot of these guys might not be here for the long run. You know what I mean?
There's no doubt about that.
And to find somebody to, you know, shit happens, baffle strikes, whatever, and not to be able to have it repaired.
Call someone out right now. Call them out.
There's a guy, I believe he's in Colorado, Nick Bosco with Echo Machine. He repairs, seems like, everybody's stuff. So
oh, yeah.
I'm guessing Nick would probably jump on and be able to fix about anything for anybody. So he's a good dude.
To me, it looks like everybody's hard focus was flow through, just some sort of flow through technology, whatever. I'm curious if it's because of 6 arc. Because, like I said, we talked about this a little bit out there. You can take any of these suppressors, 5.56, 223, it's fine. The cartridge case capacity, Valkyrie on the longer gas system is fine. It's not. Even with garbage-ass factory ammo that's going to be pretty dirty and everything else, it's still fine. It's not like it's not the end-of-the-world back pressure. But the changing cartridge, you get into the 600-millimeter arc, and again with the 22 arc, these are higher-pressure cartridges. These are more cartridge case capacity. In an AR-15, that's when you – maybe you talked about a little bit out there. Like, you can tune for it. You can go with the – it seems to me, now this is too early to make this statement because I'm in the middle of all this stupid testing right now. A5 buffer system to where you have a little more leeway with the weight. An adjustable gas block is, well, not only an adjustable gas block, but a one that'll vent some gas. Seems to me is the way to go for the 6mm arc with a more traditional generic suppressor. I keep saying that just to piss that guy off. Seems to me that's the way to go, but the easy button is a flow-through style suppressor. But what you're giving up is sound suppression. Like, it's 100%. You're giving up one thing for another. Like, it's all about pros and cons in this world. You're giving up sound suppression, no fucking doubt. For the good thing about a flow-through style suppressor is it runs cleaner. Like, there's way less back pressure. And it's kind of, from my experience with all my 6 arc and the AR-15 platform, it's kind of the easy mode. Like it makes like you don't have to like fool with, you don't have to worry about the goddamn gas port size and you know all that stuff. It just kind of works. There is a downside. There is a downside, and that is extreme cold weather. And then I just now kind of got into that because we went hunting in Oklahoma when it was, you know, negative temperatures. That's where I'm like, I wish I had a regular can on this and I had that back pressure right now. Like I would take a little gas in the face if this bitch would just run. Because I found that to be a huge problem on my 14.5, which was also completely filthy. Because what I was trying to do was see how long I can go without cleaning it. As opposed to like when you run these suppressors, yes, it's quieter, but the bitch is way dirtier, especially running
absolutely
factory ammo. Like that's just, it's part of the game. And again, a pro for the flow through designs is it's way cleaner. Like your brass is way cleaner because it's venting that shit out. But again, it's way louder. But when I got in that extreme cold on this 14.5, I don't have adjustable gas block. Never fucked with the buffers, nothing. Lily. That rifle, I guess I just got lucky, put it together, ran a Diligent defense on it for a while, and when we got my first flow through, put that on. Even with the Diligent, it worked. It's just really fucking gassy. It's a 14.5. Put the flow through on, I'm like, oh, this is way cleaner. Obviously, it's not as quiet, but it's way cleaner, so I'm just going to run with this. When I got in that extreme cold temperature, she didn't want to run. And I was like, fuck, I wish I still had the Diligent on this gun, which, I mean, I end up just... I had so much trouble with that rifle. Again, it's also like a combination of things. Like I had pushed it probably to 400 or 500 rounds without cleaning, like a good clean. I obviously wiped down the bolt carrier and all that. And I have no adjustability. And just running, playing an H2 buffer weight. Like it just ran always. Whereas what I ended up doing was put that bitch away, got my Valkyrie out with the Wolf Hunter on it. It chugged along. I think I had one on the coldest morning. I think I had one like slow feed type situation. But like I said, we're talking about temperatures. And this is what I was trying to explain to everybody. We're talking about temperatures where literally everything just is sluggish because it's so fucking cold. Like even your buffer, like when you pull grip and rivet, it's noticeably way fucking slower and it has nothing to do. Like that gun was clean. It was ready to roll. Everything's just more sluggish. That's where an increased back pressure is money on AR-15. Like,
yeah.
Anyways.
One of the rare situations that's a benefit.
Yes. That's when I didn't mind it whatsoever. That's where, like, I started really thinking about this. I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to, like, go into this testing mode because I will give up the sound suppression for how much cleaner it is. But also, what do I need to do? Carry lighter buffer weights for when it does drop down in temperature? So I'm going to go into this nerdy-ass testing this winter. But I always have an extra rifle, and it's going to have a Wolf Hunter on it more than likely because I run the Wolf Hunter's on a lot of my ARs still, which I run the flow-throughs on the rest of them. But, you know, like we was talking about out there, potentially might ruin some end caps. I'm going to do some testing there to see if I can find like a, because you think about it this way, you know, I can make a couple end caps.
Yeah.
It's cold as shit. I'll just get my little tool and put my regular end cap on.
Might want to try the 8.6 can as well. You know what I mean?
That's what I was talking about earlier. Yeah. 8.6 can, you know, just change out the end caps.
Yep.
But, you know, it's all interesting. And like I said, on you don't need to really worry about this shit on, like, 5.56. Because, you know, I've especially, like, if you're running, like, a custom ammo like ours, you know, shameless plug here, it's more optimized for the shorter barrels if you're running a short barrel. It's going to run really clean, even with standard suppressors, generic suppressors. it's going to run really clean. It's pleasant.
Yeah.
But when you start talking about like these six arcs, it's definitely changed a lot of stuff for a lot of people. And it's bolt gun, it's wonderful. Like that little 16-inch bolt gun with the Wolf Hunter on it, that's what I ran basically all winter. I've killed shitloads of pigs and killed my whitetails at long range, all that shit. Love that can, love that setup. It's wonderful. You stick that shit in a AR-15 platform, it's like Fuck.
Yeah.
It's a lot of gas in the face. So, again, I'll play with it. I'll definitely, let you know how it's going. Again, I'll probably just try to buy a bunch of in-catch from you. I'm going to start playing around with shit. Figure out if there's like a sweet spot to, noise to tunability ratio, something along the lines there. I think I could just ramble on about bullshit like this for all day long. Great cans, we're not just saying that to kiss your ass because you're here. We literally only use shit that we like and it works, and they're fantastic cans. So they're available at Allied Outdoors. You can get on your website, find out more information, go back and watch the other podcast because I think we deep dove some of this stuff a little bit more. Be sure and check out the 12-minute talk that we're going to do here in a minute because I'm going to ask him some questions about buying suppressors and stuff like that. But anyways, any last final thoughts, John?
No.
Again.
No.
Any final thoughts, announcements?
I'm good. I think we covered about everything.
Well, we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.